When you read the gospel accounts, there are seven phrases, words that Jesus speaks on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Dear woman, here is your son, and here is your mother. I am thirsty. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Tonight I want us to consider the phrase that Jesus spoke when he said, "It is finished." I love the feeling of being finished. Whether it's a workout, a project, a task, there's something exhilarating about crossing the finish line. I love the feeling of crossing off a task from my to-do list. I love when a project is done. It's in the past. Putting a punctuation mark on it. Washing my hands of it. Just feeling like, hey, it's done. I don't have to worry about it anymore. It is in the past. I love the feeling of being finished. And yet, I find that much of life feels unfinished. And those things that do feel finished don't feel finished for long. The gutters that I just cleaned a few weeks ago will need to be cleaned again in just a few months. The grass that was mowed just a few days ago will need to be mowed again. The parenting award that I just gave to myself the other day will need to be earned again, sometimes just a few minutes after I give my acceptance speech. In life, we taste the feeling it is finished, but oftentimes we live in the reality that it is not. There is an old saying that goes something like this: a mother's job is never done. That may be true of moms, and one might argue it's true of everyone. But the same cannot be said about Jesus. There was a task that he finished. Scripture reads in John chapter 19, verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The question I want us to think about tonight was simply the question, what is finished? When Jesus spoke those words, "It is finished," what was he referring to? There are two things that one might argue Jesus was referring to when he spoke those words. The first is that the work that the Father sent Jesus to do, to accomplish, was finished. The Greek word translated as finished here is a word tetelestai. In the form that it is given, it refers to an act that is totally completed. It comes from a verb form of the Greek word telos. It is the same word that means end or goal. So the end or the goal of the life of Christ was finished. Jesus lived his life on purpose. He was the most purpose-driven man ever to walk the planet. The purpose of his entire life came down to this moment when he uttered the words, "It is finished." He was saying not just that his life was over, but that his mission here on earth was fulfilled. His purpose in coming to earth and going to the cross was accomplished. Jesus perfectly and completely fulfilled God's desire and will for his life. Jesus had earlier observed, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to bring his work to completion." Later in John's gospel, Jesus said, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you called me to do." Tetelestai. It is finished. From Jesus' perspective, when he said, "It is finished," it refers to fulfilling the will of his Father and providing salvation for his sons and for his daughters. When I was in high school, the graduating seniors were given an opportunity to write a little note in the back of the yearbook. Most graduating seniors at my public school filled their notes with memories, kind of personal stories that very few people knew the meaning behind. Occasionally, they would write some cute little acronym. Maybe they would give a shout out to their boyfriend or girlfriend whom they soon would break up with. People would read those little notes whenever they would get their yearbook and then put it away on a shelf somewhere, never to be seen or heard from again. Because I love Jesus, I wanted to leave the graduating class with something memorable. And so I found the perfect verse to share with my fellow students. It was from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. If you're not familiar with the passage, it reads, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Great verse. It's a great verse. Maybe not the best verse to proclaim when you just turned 18 years old and are essentially starting your life. I look back upon that and thought, you know what? That might have been a little presumptuous. I don't know if I should have declared that I have fought the good fight and I finished the race. Just a day ago, some dear friends of mine participated in a 24-hour workout called Golgotha. No one who participated was of sane mind. It was 24 hours straight of working out and exercise, a new workout on the top of every hour. I tried to imagine what it would have been like to show up, participate in the first hour, and at the end of the workout, throw my hands up in the air in victory and say, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." People probably would have looked at me and thought, "Big guy, you're just getting started. Like, the race isn't over yet." If you are here this evening, your race isn't over. But the race that Jesus ran was completed. It was and it is finished. He accomplished his purpose here on earth that was given to him by his Father. Not only was the Father's will completed and accomplished by Jesus, but the sin debt was paid in full. The debt that you owe and I owe was paid by Jesus. The word tetelestai was sometimes used in the commercial arena in the Greek world. It was often stamped on a purchase or written on a receipt. It simply meant paid in full. Jesus said, "I've done all that I was called to do. The sin debt for my people has been paid in full." One of the challenges of the Old Testament sacrificial system was that all the time sacrifices would need to be offered time and time again. It was never finished. It had to be offered again and again and again. But the beauty of the sacrifice of Jesus is that his sacrifice was a one-time sacrifice. It was sufficient. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 reads, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of his creation, he entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Verse 13, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I love what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, when he said, "In you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." If you are a follower of Jesus, if you are his son or daughter this evening, then the debt from your sin has been canceled. It has been paid. I don't know about you, but oftentimes, I don't know if we think about sin in terms of a debt. Oftentimes, it's easy with our sin to excuse our sin or belittle our sin or sweep our sin under the rug to think that it's not such a big deal. But Scripture teaches us that it was such a big deal that God sent his perfect and holy Son to pay the penalty for our sin. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he set us free from the debt that we owed God. And so this evening, because it is finished, we live in freedom. We live in freedom from trying to earn what God has already given to us. We live in freedom from constantly trying to prove ourselves to others or to God. We live in freedom from feeling like we always need to put our best foot forward when we're amongst friends or a crowd. Because it is finished, we experience freedom from the bondage of sin. Because it is finished, we experience a freedom from the temptation to hide in the Christian life. Because it is finished, we have freedom from unfound guilt and shame. Because it is finished, we have freedom from believing that you need to tie up all your spiritual loose ends. Because it is finished, we have freedom from spiritual death and defeat. Jesus cried that day, "It is finished." And with nothing left to do or to prove, Jesus gave up his spirit. He said, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again." When his mission was accomplished and when atonement was completed, Jesus died. So tonight we remember his sacrifice and we give thanks that Jesus accomplished the work that he set out to do. He paid the penalty for sin and canceled our debt. And so we rejoice and say, "It is finished indeed." Would you pray with me? Father God, we give you thanks that the work that Jesus set out to do was completed. Lord, we give you thanks that we live under the banner that reads, "It is finished." The debt that we owed to a holy and a righteous and a perfect and good God was paid for by Jesus. And so this evening we remember the death of Jesus and we give thanks. God, thank you so much for the love that was demonstrated to us in the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. We remember tonight and we give you thanks. God, we love you. We thank you so much that you have loved us first. We pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen.